so this is Father John Summers.
Facing the right way.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. This is Father. I'll sit here. This is Father John Summers, and today we're interviewing Metropolitan Demetrius. Thank you so much for talking with us, Your Eminence.
Thank God.
So today we're going to be talking about the significance of prayer and stillness to the life of a student. So with that, Your Eminence, what are the first things that come to your mind when you hear that prompt?
First thing that comes to my mind is something from the a quote from the Wisdom of Solomon,
mm-hmm.
which says, "For speedily was he taken away, lest that wickedness should alter his understanding."
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that we read in the Vesper service when we have a liti. And I think it's very significant and very closely connected. It's very closely related to what you're trying to do now,
mm-hmm.
with regards to pulling people out of the program,
mm-hmm.
Which is being forced upon the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are my first thoughts, right?
Yes, of course.
So if you,
yeah.
you can interject if you feel like it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But speedily was he taken away, lest that wickedness should alter his understanding, I think has a very significant meaning for us today, in that people are being programmed by the programs.
Mm-hmm.
Not just television programs, but the program of what's going on with the agenda of this world.
Right.
The world has always been at enmity with God, right? Because
yes.
our Lord says that the prince of this world is the devil. So, the understanding needs to be to remain enlightened. We are Orthodox Christians, which means we've been baptized, which means that when we were baptized, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we need to discover the Holy Spirit, which
mm-hmm.
is hidden in the heart. So, in order to do that, we need to take a few steps. And before we can actually get to the higher steps that we're talking about, of contemplation and so on and so forth, which even there are steps which are, you know,
right.
beyond our grasp.
Right, right.
We can't really get there. We have to start off with search the scriptures. We have to start off with studying.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to connect the mind and the heart. You know,
mm-hmm.
people hear that sometimes, they think it's just some type of a monastic philokalia thing.
Yeah.
But it's not just a monastic philokalia thing. It's making the proper connections with regards to the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the ultimate goal.
Right, right.
So here we are now educating people, taking them out of this system, specifically so that their understanding not be altered by that wickedness,
mm-hmm.
as it says in scriptures. And helping them to study the scriptures so that the mind can be enlightened. There
mm-hmm.
are a number of things which we need to do in order to enlighten the mind so that we can think clearly. Because if it's just education, and if somebody's just relying on their own intellectual abilities,
mm-hmm.
they can be shipwrecked. As
right.
we know, this is the beginning of heresy, right?
Right.
These people went above they put themselves above God, basically.
Right, 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 right.
But among the Holy Fathers, we know that there was a close connection, particularly those who theologized, who dogmatized, who expounded the Holy Orthodox faith for us. They made a very close connection between their natural gift,
mm-hmm.
which was an intellectual gift, because that also comes from God, that everything comes from God. And they exercised that to the point where they were illumined.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for example, we have St. Gregory Palamas, right?
Right.
Who explained the energy of God, the essence of God, and so much
right.
to us. St. John of Damascus, St.
Right.
Photius the Great. So they knew how to explain it in human terms.
Right.
I think we have to keep in mind that St. Isaac the Syrian says that words are tools of this world.
Mm-hmm.
Silence is the mystery of the age to come.
Yes.
So part of this whole program ourselves in the positive way,
right,
in
right.
the right way, is we need to have some sihiyah, we need to have some quiet. The fathers
right.
teach us that the soul cannot be healed without quiet. None of us can claim to be Hesychast, and none of us can really ever reach the levels of St. Arsenius the Great or St. Isaac the Syrian
sure.
and so on and so forth. These people were really illumined.
Right.
They were so illumined that they actually condemned human knowledge because of the fact that, not because they were condemning human knowledge per se, but because they were comparing
Yes,
They were talking about, you know, there's a huge difference between the two, and this can't be compared to the other one.
Right.
This is the end goal. This is the means by which we can go to the goal.
Right, right.
But it's not the only means.
Right.
Sahiya, quiet, is so important because the soul cannot be healed without quiet, as we said. There's so much noise, not just outward noise, but inward noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as if the outward noise helps the inward state.
We need to
discipline ourselves with time of quiet. People oftentimes confuse monasticism and living in the world as two totally different things.
Right.
But you know, St. John Chrysostom says that they're not totally different. You know, we're both aiming towards the same goal.
Right.
We're both trying to work towards the same virtues. We're all fighting the same passions.
Right.
Right. There are a few differences in terms of the vows that are made for the monastic.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that the lay person shouldn't cultivate quiet.
Right.
Because the goal, as we said, you know, is to achieve the grace of the Holy Spirit, is to come to the higher knowledge.
Right.
And people really need to discipline themselves in such a way that they can connect that silence to the spiritual life.
Right.
It's not just silence or stillness, which, you know, they're not totally the same thing. It's
mm-hmm.
not just the silence of being quiet and just, you know, letting your mind go nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
It's the silence of being connected with God.
Yes.
Because silence is the mystery of age to come. So it seems to me now that in our society people don't even have time to be quiet because these things are constantly being thrown into their,
Their
ears. People get home and automatically they have to have noise. It's almost like a passion, really.
Right.
Turn on the radio. Put on the television set.
Right.
You know, let me go to YouTube or to the internet and to the telephone or whatever.
Right.
They can't sit still.
Right.
And I think that this really hurts even the intellectual ability of the person.
Yes.
Because concentration is so important in the spiritual life.
Right.
Right. Concentration is something which just doesn't come automatically. You know, we exercise. We have certain exercises, which the word askesis, askesis is exercise, right?
Right.
So we need to train ourselves to be able to get to a certain point. And I think with that isihia, and with that quiet, and with that connection with God, and contemplating not at the level of the Holy Fathers, but sitting and being quiet in your room before you say your prayer roll, and just doing something like look at the icon of the crucifixion.
Yes.
Look at the icon of the Transfiguration, of Pentecost, of the birth of Christ, and just give yourself a few minutes of quiet to just soak it in, so to speak.
Yeah.
Look at what our Savior did for us. It prepares the heart.
Right.
For what is greater, for prayer. And the Fathers say that before you start your prayers, tell your thoughts, O come, let us worship and fall down before our King and God, O come, let us worship and fall down.
Right.
So, it means that there's a controlling of the thoughts.
Yes.
We have to push the world out.
Right.
And give ourselves the chance to be enlightened. So silence is one of those aids which can help us concentrate. Silence, of course, you need silence to study, right?
Right.
Think about it. You want to read a book, you need to have the concentration.
Right.
So the same thing happens in the spiritual life with regards to prayer, and it has to go hand in hand. One of the Fathers said, reading helps prayer, prayer helps reading.
Right, right, right.
So we have to be able to balance the two, the heart and the mind.
Right.
The heart being, you know, the center of the heart of the matter.
So as you're talking, Your Eminence, I'm thinking both as a teacher and as a parent and as a priest, I'm thinking about a habit that a lot of people have now, and I've even fallen prey to myself from time to time, where they're doing some kind of work, right, whether for school or whatever, and they're listening to music. Not necessarily bad music in terms of its content, that's not what I mean, but they're listening to music, and I don't mean chant. I mean just they're listening to some sort of music. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Related to everything else that you've said, the need for silence.
Right. First thought that comes to mind is St. Arsenius the Great, who is one of the tops, right, in terms of hesychastic life, heard the rustling of the grass, you know, the bushes. And he thought, what is all this noise?
Right.
So this is an extreme case of, you know,
right,
he was so hesychastic. We have other fathers who just blocked out the noise, right? They were
right,
able to do so, but this was a great intellectual ability which they had.
Right.
I wouldn't encourage it.
Right.
I would, just encourage people to be quiet.
Right.
There's still, you know, the for lack of a better term, the subconscious, you know, you are hearing all this background noise. You're still listening to it.
Yes.
You need time to be quiet.
Right.
You need to give yourself a chance to be quiet.
Right. Right.
I can't really, you know, obviously, as I've been telling people here this week, I can't really personally relate to family life. I leave that to you guys, basically. You know?
Sure, sure.
I can only relate to some of the things,
right,
the limited things that I know with regards to monasticism and, you know, the spiritual life, which is limited.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, I hope it's not sort of viewed as just a simple monastic thing when I say that you should really try to push the noise out.
No, no. I mean, I think that, you know, you struck on an important point earlier when you said that all too often people think about monasticism and the life of the married person in the Orthodox Church is so greatly different,
right,
which it's not. We're both aiming at the same thing.
That's right.
The married person might not go to vespers and matins every day, but they need to have the regularity of a prayer rule in common, morning and evening, that's consistent, and try to do it with attention. So I can, it completely resonates with me, and I'm certainly a family man. I have 8 kids, as you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think I qualify.
So, yeah, the Isahiya level must be a little...
Well, you know, and like in our house, like there's always a struggle, but like during the meals, we try to read the prologue.
Good.
You know, and we found, whenever we fall off that sort of habit,
mm-hmm,
the stillness goes down dramatically in the home. The kids are more rambunctious, et cetera, et cetera. So when I say that, I don't mean to say that we do it perfectly, because even in a pre-psalm, like, you still have the temptations of the irregularity of the world,
right,
you know. But you can very palpably see the difference when you're keeping your rule, when you're doing the things you normally do, and when you don't. It's like a night and day in terms of even how the kids are. Yeah.
This reminds me of something which St. Macarius the Great terms as spiritual law.
Mm-hmm.
You do this, you do that, that's going to be the result. You do this, you do that, that's going to be the result. So here you are, you know, trying to implement something which will be helpful. You notice that it helps you. You stop doing it. You notice how it doesn't help, how it really brings in the worldliness,
right,
into the family, really.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that the people in the world also shouldn't, we talked about the difference between monasticism and married life, and the things which aren't so different about monasticism and
right,
married life. And people need to be careful not to use that excuse as, oh, well, you know, I'm not a monk.
Right.
Or I'm not a nun.
Right.
We should be going to church as often as possible. We should be going to the vespers and the matins as much as we can.
Right.
I understand that, you know, it's not that easy. And I
right,
know that, you know, like you said, 8 children, 9 children, 10 children, it will be tough.
We'll talk later.
Oh.
Okay. But there's a goal. We have to have the goals.
Mm-hmm.
We can't live on excuses.
Right.
We have to have certain goals.
Right.
And try to achieve them.
So I want to, I know we have to, I know you're very busy at the camp here. So I want to put a picture in front of you, and then as a means of summing up, might take a few more minutes. It's kind of like when we say, let us complete our prayer to the Lord, and it's like about 20 more minutes. No, I'm not. So, you know, as a priest and a teacher and a parent, when I think of the image for that's conducive both to the spiritual life and to learning in the home, this is something like what I think of. a morning and evening prayer roll that's regular, not necessarily lengthy, but regular, and with the entire family participating. Meals together, hopefully with some at least spiritual, meaningful conversation, if not spiritual conversation, as opposed to everybody on phones and so forth. Yeah. Regular attendance at Vespers on Saturday night at the church, or vigil, depending on what your parish does, with confession, at least frequent confession, with your confessor, obviously, regulating that. And attending Trinitarian Church, obviously, on Sunday mornings, and so forth. And a general rejection of putting aside cell phones and other things when you don't actually need them, because they're not intrinsically evil devices, but when we use them, it's the way they're no longer a tool, but right. They're a lifestyle, that's a problem.
You mean rejecting them?
Yeah, so I don't need it, so I'm going to turn it off, because my work's done, and I'm going to put it aside. And the last thing I want to say is the parents modeling all of that, meaning that they're conveying to the student, the child, that study is important, and they do spiritual reading, and they do reading of their own, and that they try to do those things on their own. So that's a lot, but as an overall picture, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I don't think it's a lot, because I'm speaking now as a monk, right?
Right.
As I said, I have no idea, but it seems to me that this is a goal which we really need to work towards. And I think that's absolutely correct. I certainly would encourage all that, and I would add that it's important for a family to understand themselves as a living community almost, you know. You're together, you're part of the body of Christ, but you're a closely knit part of that body of Christ. And you mentioned something which may seem to be very insignificant to people nowadays, because I think we've lost the concept of that unity in the family, eating together.
Yes.
You know, when we grew up eating together, we had a really nice custom in our parts. We would say the prayers before the meal, but then we would chant the number of Apolitikya, just the favorite saints and whatever.
Sure.
And then at the end of that, everybody would kiss each other, and we would kiss the hands of the older people, and it was like the kiss of peace.
Like the ancient kiss of peace.
Like the agape. Echoing, you know, the meal.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It was a very beautiful tradition.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that our ancestors devised means to cultivate that understanding, which was so important for us, you know, that we were Christ-centered people. We are the people of Christ.
Right.
So the family has to have Christ as the center of the home. This is the reason why our people had the icon corner in a central place.
Right.
He's the center of our home.
Right.
And if you really know what's best for you, you're going to want Christ to be the center of your home. He's the one that's going to bring peace. He's the one that's going to help. You know, imagine, we have the temptations that we have already. Imagine what it would be like without him.
Yes.
And the temptations that we have, as long as we are focusing on Christ, all things work towards our salvation.
Yes.
And the last thing I would say is, I mentioned here to the people in the camp, concerning the concentration that we were talking about, and also concerning the Sahih that we were talking about, the example of last Sunday's Gospel, where our Lord performed this miracle. Remember, he had already performed the miracle of the 5,000.
Right.
And then he went apart to a mountain to pray.
Right.
Right? And as he's God now, right? But he's showing us the example that we have to ascend.
Right.
After all this commotion with all these people, 5,000 people.
Right.
You have to take the time out.
Right. Right.
To ascend.
Right.
Unto the mount of the Lord, and to make the connection with
him.
And then you see that the apostles themselves were in this boisterous sea problem.
Right.
And the teacher was up praying, being quiet. He came down to their level.
Right.
And our Lord says, take courage. Fear not. It is I, right? We need to be courageous. So he encouraged them to focus on him.
Right.
Peter saw him and said, Lord, if it is thee, command that I come unto thee. And he walked on the waters.
Right.
But then, I tell people, he had an ADD moment. Because anxiety, depression...
Peter, of course, you mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anxiety, depression, all these things are results of our fallen human nature. We're not meant for this.
Right.
And this is why the Fathers tell us that Jesus wept, right? It wasn't just to show that he was human, but it was in the person of Lazarus at that time, he saw the anthropotita, he saw the race of man. He remembered Adam.
Right.
What man was made for, the joy that Adam had in paradise. He says, this is the result of the fall.
Right.
Grievous to behold. Right? So all these things are results of the fallen human nature. It's not what we're meant for. As long as Peter was focused on Christ, he was walking on the waters, he had his ADD moment, Peter had his ADD moment, he lost his focus, he started sinking.
Yeah.
And at that moment, he was anxious because it's like his life is in danger, right? And obviously the anxiety level is going to be at the top.
Right.
And he made something very positive out of something which is very negative. His anxiety is negative, but he went to the source of healing, Jesus Christ. And he said, Lord, save me.
Yeah.
From the depths of his heart.
Yeah.
Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. And our Lord pulled him out at that time.
Right.
And our Lord's waiting for us to say that. He knows the dangers that we're facing. He knows that we're going to be distracted with the world in the ADD moments. We have to refocus on Jesus Christ. He's the only source. He's the one that's going to heal our mind and our hearts. But we have to devise the means. We have to be quiet. We have to be able to put aside that time during the day to just focus on Him.
Yes.
There's too much time away from Him, which means that it's an imbalanced day.
Yes, absolutely.
So we need to give that time to Him, at least some time to Him.
Yes. Well, with those really nourishing words, I think we'll close, because I know you're very busy here at the camp, and we thank you for time to sit down with us.
Thank you for working on this project. I pray that our Lord bless it, and under the direction of our brother Bishop Metropolitan Moses, may you thrive.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.